is Roger Green, host of the Surfing the Mesh Tsunami podcast. This week, we're offering five conversations from episode 15, our review of the SLD Think Tank 2024, with co-hosts Jeff Lazarus and Ewan Schottenberg, and participants Maya Thiel and Mike Patel. Plus, from the vault, a conversation from our review of INCBCN 2023, the predecessor meeting to this year's Think Tank. This first discussion of the actual SLD Think Tank 2024 explores the meeting design from two perspectives, co-host and participant. It starts with co-host Jeff Lazarus, providing background and rationale for the SLD Think Tank 2024 design. He starts by referring back to an initial meeting in 2019 and the first 2 years of INCBCN, which we covered on this podcast. He then describes why he felt a small group brainstorming approach might work better than the last 2 years of PowerPoint presentations and group questions, as he defines it. This agenda, which was designed to encourage dialogue that generated new answers to the largest questions in SLD, included five hot topic sections, two focused workshops, and an innovative ideation concept called Open Spaces. When Jeff finishes, co-host Ewan Schottenberg describes how the highly innovative Open Spaces element actually worked in his section of the room. After this, participants Maya Thiel and Mike Patel shared their impressions of the meeting. Maya starts by praising the Open Space concept, which he describes as, and I quote, especially fruitful, end of quote, due to the diversity of attendees. After Mike seconds her comments about diversity, she goes on to describe what she did during Open Spaces, and the rest of the group joins in with points about the design. This discussion demonstrates how much a small-ish group of 100 can accomplish when working with passion and focus inside an innovative meeting design. There's a lot to unpack here, so just sit back, listen, learn, absorb, enjoy, and when you're done, check out and perhaps contribute to the memorial page on our LinkedIn discussion group. Why don't we kick into our discussion? To Ewan and to Jeff, this was a really unusual meeting design, very, very different than what people expect. So I'd love the two of you, in whichever order you wish, to tell us a little bit about exactly what that design was and how you came to develop it.
Jeffrey Lazarus.
Sure, I'll start. Thanks, Roger. So, you know, I launched the innovations in what was then called NAFLD already in 2019, and it was probably too early. A lot of great speakers came, KOLs from across Europe, but not many participants. COVID came, we put it on hold. And then 3 years ago, I invited Ewan to co-chair with me. And the last 2 years, in May, we ran the meeting Innovations in NAFLD Care, what we called INCBCN. You were at one of them. And it was hard to get people to attend. It was easy to get experts to come. It was in Barcelona. They had a good time presenting. We got to research meetings and work together, but it was harder to fill the room. And since earlier, I had been running the Wilton Park think tanks where we published the expert recommendation on models of care, the research and action priorities. We had 45 experts from around the world discussing and debating the issues in a closed format. We thought, why don't we go back to that and really discuss among ourselves? There's probably not enough, but there are still a lot of opportunities to learn about MASLD and MASH in various meetings, both big like the EASL and ASLD congresses and smaller meetings, important meetings like Paris, NASH and others. So we decided to switch in the autumn to a think tank format, but still allow those who wanted to participate who weren't going to be in the speaker group to join. So we had a faculty of 30 people, and then we had another 70 people in the room. The idea was to cap it at 75, but there was a lot of interest, so we let it grow to 100. We had a really nice location in a club in Barcelona, and what we did was we took five hot topics, and we asked the chairs to present in about 10 minutes, a sort of state-of-the-art overview. And then we prepared questions that would really push three or four discussants who were on the stage. Then we opened it up to the rest of the faculty in the room. And then we opened it up to everyone else in the room, from patient advocates and industry to just others, you know, who wanted to be there. So we addressed issues like bridging the diagnostic gap. So obviously, you know, Maya was involved. Prevention is the cure, hidden in plain sight, the future of treatment. Now, we had a session called Making Ready Our World Unready. And this was really around things like the legal and financial readiness we need to be able to address MASLD and MASH. And finally, we had a last session that Dr. Zubair Younossi chaired called Targeting Investments for Social and Economic Returns. Along with that, those five hot topics, we had two workshops, one led by Elliot Tapper on social media. It was really great, and he's a great person to do that, Mr. or Dr. Liver Twitter. And then we did what we called an open space session led by Chris Kopka. Maybe Maya or Ewan, you want to comment. There were definitely some doubts about how this was going to work, but we put 10 flip charts around the room and Chris set it up where we would ask people in the audience, what's an issue you want to talk about? Stand by a flip chart and then people in the room could go to that person. And when you get tired tired of talking about the issue, or even if you're the person who started it, you just move to another conversation. So people were moving all around the room for an hour discussing issues. We recorded it down and then we reported it back. It's a great way to be disruptive, to come up with new ideas, but also for everyone to interact rather than sort of a discussant sitting on the stage facing the audience.
Jörn Schottenberg.
That's a great point. And I think that open science session, which I was also worried about how it's going to work out, was very descriptive of this year's program that, as Jeff said, we wanted to move a little bit away from the typical frontal lectures of experts to a more interactive and really format where we come up with new ideas. And standing at my Flipboard, I discussed metabolic health and preventive hepatology. So everybody was able to say something. People left, people came. In the end, we had a whole flip chart filled with ideas and things to do. And I actually wrote my cardiologist an email and he replied within 15 minutes, let's do it. So I felt like we discussed it, a lot of input, and something even came out of it. So I didn't know that type of technology or that approach to foster interaction, but Chris was great at putting that forward, and it really made things different.
Sounds different. I did something once like that 20 years ago, roughly like that, except with only four flip charts and 25 people, which made it a lot less unwieldy than this might have been. But that just sounds exceptional. So Maya, Mike, you guys went through that experience. You want to talk a little bit about your impressions of the event in general and that in particular?
Maya Thiel.
I think I could start with that particular event. I thought that the open space was really a very good experience. I thought it really released some great discussions and creativity and a kind of a ping pong of ideas. And I think this was especially fruitful because there were many different people in the room. So it was not all academic hepatologists. People were coming from very different backgrounds. So the input, at least for me, was also very diverse, which is always good when you want to generate ideas. Mike
Battelle.
Yeah, Maya's point about the diversity of commentary is spot on. I remember really well at the beginning, it was like everybody's looking at each other for the first minute or two. It's like, how do we get started? And then it didn't take very long until people just kept going and going until we filled the whole page with comments and suggestions and feedback. So the whole meeting was interactive. That in particular, there was a lot of opportunity for everybody in the room to have a chance to actually contribute, which is great, right? Everybody always had a chance to contribute, but not everybody did before, but they did during this session.
And I didn't move because I was so deep into the discussions in the place where I was. We were looking at groups that are normally difficult to reach, could be immigrants, could be people belonging to lower socioeconomic status, it could be minorities. And so some of them may not go to their GP. When they go to their GP, they may present differently than what the GP is used to. They may not adhere to screening programs. And this was a very interesting discussion. And from Jeff's group, we learned a lot about the outreach for detecting HCV in immigrants in Barcelona, how to approach this. And I think one point that I took with me that was kind of part of this open space setup is that the idea is to end up having some sort of product. So kind of something going forward to not just questions, not just this needs to be researched further, but rather what can we do right now? So our group came up with the idea of making a kind of a cookbook or a list of available actions that have already been tried towards reaching minorities and other groups that are hard to reach from other fields, and then try to apply that in hepatology and in liver fibrosis testing. So for me, that was kind of a very specific thing that was ready to work with that came out of just a little less than an hour of discussions.
Wow. Badly needed, though. Great topic. Topic I think we all need to think more about, and a broader topic than frequently we do. That's fantastic.
Louise Campbell.
I was just listening there thinking how innovative that is, because I think we've discussed before multiple times, we can do a lot of research and research can take an awful long time, but we have to do something now and we have to take that leap of faith. Obesity is not stopping. Diets aren't changing. People are forcing different products onto the market. So to have something that comes out that says, well, let's take the bull by the horns, literally, let's go and do something, and then we'll get the evidence from it. That's innovative. It's nice to hear that that was the sort of type of discussion that was going on in the room, because that fills my boat every time, because we do have to do something now. We've researched for years. So it sounds great and exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing some of that next year.
Well, thanks, Louise. You know, it was very different from when you were there. I think 2 years ago, it was really needed. We, you know, a lot of people needed to get access to speaking to the experts, which can be difficult at the large conferences, and also to discuss some of the issues that aren't always brought up at the conferences, including public health and policy issues, in addition to the treatment and models of care. But at this meeting, we tried to really think big. So the think tank, you know, departed from a narrow focus on feasibility to think about what's needed to turn the tide on MASLD and MASH in the short, near, and long term to end it as a public health threat by 2030 globally. So I wanted to move away from detailed discussions on cutoffs and say, well, if we could wave a magic wand, what would be the NITs that you would use now? Let's imagine they could be everywhere affordable and accessible. Or what new NITs would you snap your finger and they would be available, or we would work to make them available or develop them in the next 3 to 5 years? So we did have the think tank was preceded by an NIT summit where we really dug into NITs. That was half a day with a lot of lectures and discussion. But the think tank was just like, we are where we are now, but how are we actually going to change things in 1 year, 3 years, and 5 years?
So before I ask the answers, let me ask a process question. Jeff, you're on all of you. Was there one particular direction this went in, or one particular way it worked, that surprised you or delighted you more than you expected it to?
For me, I was impressed that everyone was there the entire time. People really weren't on their phones. I was up front and I'd look around and see everyone was engaged because it was interactive. So the whole meeting was interactive. Every session of 80, 90 minutes just had 10 minutes of presentations. So we flipped it around. So it wasn't, instead of death by PowerPoint, it was ask your questions or get ready because you're going to be able to answer the questions from the chairs, even if you're sitting in the back corner, you know, of the room.
Bjorn, Maya, Mike, anything that surprised you or particularly delighted you about it?
I mentioned at the event the point that we need a tailored approach to care. So it seemed like as more and more people shared information around the world about patients in particular, that there wasn't really like one solution for every, you know, that would apply to all patients. So it depends on their background and where they live and the challenges they have and all of that stuff. And so we had a little bit of discussion about that as well.
And now back to Roger.
We hope you've enjoyed this recording. If you have any questions or comments about the content of this conversation or the entire episode, please put them in the review section of the page from which you downloaded this conversation, or send an email to me at questions@surfingmash.com. Next week, we plan to preview elements of the EASL Congress, which comes next month in Milan. Until then, stay safe, surf on, see you on the podcast. Bye-bye now.